This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Yeah. Everyone all set? Cocked, locked. Hour number two of USA Prepares. Bert's with us. Welcome, Bert.
Hey, Vince. Glad to be here. How's everything out there on the farm?
Well, I got to tell you that the dogs were in a panic over the last storm. It just seemed to end this morning, but tremendous lightning, thunder, and I've never seen Morgan. Morgan is one of our two German shepherds, about close to 4 years old, so she's not a puppy, and she was literally shaking for a couple hours yesterday because of the violence of the storm. It was terrifying to her, and all the dogs seem to be very concerned about what's happening more than ever. I've never seen it quite this bad. You know, they don't like thunder. They don't like lightning. But they've never really been terrified like I've seen yesterday. And they have a sense that we don't have, Bert.
Yeah. Did you have any campers on the campground at Natural Farms? Or is we're still waiting for the weather to warm up a little?
Not. Well, we have had campers this year, but none right at the moment. But they have been here before, you know, earlier this year, and one just left. So, but not for the storm. So, fortunately, we haven't had any campers during this violent weather. But you know, Bert, everything is green now. I mean, well, not everything, but the grass is a beautiful green, and and really, at this time of the year, it's a little early. It really is.
Well,
I mean, March 8th.
Totally.
And I've also noticed that our solar power generation is way up. We've set some records, 56.1 kilowatts during one day. We've never had that before, especially at this time of the year. Very, very unusual. I just wanted to share that.
Yeah. Well, it's
and I've made no changes to the system.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, Vince, what we're going to cover today is a topic we've covered a lot. And honestly, Vince, we've been way ahead on the curve on talking about the pros and cons of electric vehicles, otherwise known as EVs. But new study, again, well, actually it was an old study that's been republished and recirculated, and it basically shows that against what a lot of people would think if you ask them, the study shows that EVs actually emit more toxic gases, more pollution. Tires wear out faster than regular gas-powered cars. So interesting, and you have to delve into the study to begin understanding where they're coming from. But a lot of it has to do with the tires and the type of tires used on EVs. And a lot of people don't realize that the particulate in the air is not all from the exhaust. Some of it comes from actually the tires on the car. And as we've been able to reduce the tailpipe emissions, you know, a modern gasoline-powered car is a tiny, tiny fraction of the pollution that cars made. Well, you probably remember back in the 60s and 70s how bad car pollution was. It was awful. And a modern car right now, if the engine's running well, you know, everything's in tune with, and compression ratios have also gone up, so there's more complete combustion. The amount of pollution is really low. Now, there's still carbon dioxide because that's normal You know, when you burn, when you have the gasoline combustion, a normal outcome is carbon dioxide. That's, you know, it's not really a pollutant per se, because we emit carbon dioxide. So, but the actual bad stuff is a very small percentage of what cars used to be. And so what's happened is tires, which really, there's nothing we've done to make tires better. In fact, we've made them worse with the way they're made for EVs. The pollution off tires and also brakes, you know, when you press on your brakes, you're burning up some brake dust, and that goes into the air as well. What they're finding is in a lot of cases, and EVs are actually producing more toxic particles into the atmosphere. So interesting study, Vince. And again, we've been way ahead of the curve, you know, starting a couple of years ago, talking about EVs aren't everything that they're purported to be. When you look at the, you know, importantly, we talked about the big picture, how when you have to really start at the mining of the rare earth elements, the manufacturing process, then, of course, how the cars operate. And then ultimately, we don't know how to recycle them. So anyway, Vince, this study shows EVs release more toxic particles into the air than regular ICE or gasoline-powered cars. Interesting study, Vince.
Now, Bert, for hour number one, I made the claim that if those in class today stayed for the 2 hours, they would learn things that they did not know and that have not been taught on the radio. And I stand by that claim. And so here it is. Here's some more of that. We did some with Greg, and that was about the cranes in on the West Coast being manufactured by China. I talked about Jive, the Unix Linux filter, and how that could be used to drive us crazy, and how their communications, cellular-type communications that we didn't know about, they were part of these cranes manufactured in China. Well, here are two other things that you probably didn't know about, class. Bert mentioned the word pollution and internal combustion engines. So you all know that a gasoline engine has a spark plug, right? Whether it be a lawnmower, a chainsaw, a weed whacker, or a car or truck. If it's gasoline-powered, even propane-powered, it would have a spark plug for each cylinder. And they're called four-cycle engines. So intake, compression, explosion, exhaust. Those are the four cycles. So intake, the piston goes down. Air goes into the cylinder, compression, the piston goes up, and when the piston gets right close to top dead center of that stroke, spark goes off, creates an explosion with the gas-air mixture, piston is driven down by that explosion, and then it turns around and comes back up, and the exhaust cycle starts, and the exhaust from that explosion gets pushed out into the exhaust manifold through the exhaust pipe into the catalytic converter, muffler, and out the tailpipe. Okay, well, Bert talked about engines being less polluting. Well, here's what Mercedes did. And this is like two decades ago. They put two spark plugs in the combustion chamber, right in the cylinder head. And one might think, you know, if one spark plug does a great job, two would be even better. You know, get more chance of a clean burn. But that's not what happens. There are two spark plugs, and one of them, and there's an ignition coil that fires each of the spark plugs. So one of the sparks goes off right near top dead center, as you would expect. The other one goes off during the exhaust stroke. And the idea is, well, we didn't have a really good, clean explosion. There's still some fuel left over, so let's set it on fire just as we push it out of the engine. Doesn't do any work. It's not used for propelling the vehicle forward or backward. It's just another spark to further burn what was not burned the first time during the explosion cycle. That's the truth. So two spark plugs per cylinder on some Mercedes engines, and you might have thought, you know, and maybe the salesman says, look under the hood, two spark plugs per cylinder. And so naturally, you would think efficiency. more horsepower, more torque for the engine, better burn, better for the environment and all that. And the salesperson could say, and it's better for the environment, a more clean burn. All true. But the second spark plug does nothing to move the vehicle forward or backward and become more efficient. It just burns the residual that wasn't burned the first time. Next part, Bert mentioned brakes. Okay, so it used to be in the early days of automobiles, probably up until maybe the 70s, that brakes were made with organic material. What does that mean? Natural material. What does that mean? Asbestos. So asbestos can take large amounts of heat before burning and volatilizing, but it does get consumed with each application of the brake pedal. So we move from asbestos to semi-metallic to ceramic. But the brake pads wear out, the brake shoes wear out, and where does that go? The part that used to be on your brake shoes, the part that used to be on your brake pads, it goes airborne. And the guy behind you gets to breathe your brake pads and brake shoes. And so does the guy behind him and him and him and him. And it goes into the air, just like the tires that Bert was talking about. So where do your tires go? I mean, they used to be brand new, right? How come they're bald? Well, the rubber went into the air. It became airborne, then it settles. Bert, back to you.
Yeah, Vince. And so we've made progress on the, let's say, regular ICE-powered cars. And Vince, believe it or not, I think a lot of people won't know this, that gas-powered cars currently account for just 1% of all the particulate matter in the state of California. So we've cut emissions to a really low level. It's for those technical geeks out there, it's 1/1000th of a gram per mile driven of fine particulate matter that gets emitted. So this is part of the same study. It was published in the Wall Street Journal, but it's by a company called Emissions Analytics. And it's kind of eye-opening because it shows that EVs are not producing less pollution, at least in terms of the particulate matter. And again, it's for a couple of different reasons. It has to do with the different tires they use. Also has to do, Vince, because EVs are heavier, because you're throwing in another 1,000 pounds for the weight of the battery. So now that's more wear on the tires. That's more weight you have to haul around. It increases the inefficiency. So it's beginning to look, and a lot of other people and organizations are coming to this conclusion that really for the next 10 or 20 years, the best all-around vehicle is probably going to be a compromise, which is a hybrid where you have basically you're powered off of gasoline, but you're powering a generator that generates electricity. You have a very small battery system, so it's safer, lighter weight, it's easier to deal with, and then that powers an electric motor. And the reason, Vince, you want to use an electric motor, and this is really what got people excited in EVs to begin with, is EVs are basically 90% efficient in the actual motor compared to gasoline engine, which is somewhere between 20 at the best, maybe 30% efficient, burning their gasoline, converting it into power.
Yeah, and when we come back, I've got a data point, an exclamation point about what you just said. Bert's with us.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise at gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise at gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAprepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAprepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Bert's with us. And Bert, here's the exclamation point, or another dot, or something that you might not have learned in school class. So the hybrid is a gasoline engine and an electric motor, as Bert said. So the gasoline engine can charge a battery with a generator, and an electric motor can power the wheels. And then when you want to slow down, the kinetic energy can be used. Instead of using brakes so much, you could use the electric motor in reverse to charge the batteries when you're slowing down. So it's a pretty neat setup. But it's not new. It's been around for 100 years. So, in 1898, there's a guy by the name of Rudolf Diesel. 1898. He came up with the first diesel engine to use a low grade of fuel with a lot of BTUs to fuel an internal combustion engine without spark plugs. It was pretty neat.
And it was interesting, Vince, that total coincidence that he had the same name as the engine he was inventing.
That's right. And so it was called the diesel engine. But here's the relationship to the gasoline-electric hybrid car. Well, most, the dominant diesel locomotive that pulls trains around, they're powered by diesel engines attached to an electric motor. So the diesel engine runs the generator that turns the motor, that turns the wheels. So the reason for that is not obvious, but it's 100 years ago. 1925 was the first diesel electric train. And what it was, the reason is because we haven't figured out how to make a clutch or a transmission that can handle the torque that's necessary to pull a train. So what they did was they hooked up a diesel engine to an electric motor, and the electric motor drives the wheels. So there is no transmission. It's an electric motor. It's a great setup. But so for those who are thinking that these electric hybrids, gas electric hybrids, are new, no, they've been around for 100 years, 99 years.
Yeah, we've all seen those locomotives. They're the boxy, square-looking locomotives, and we've seen them forever out on freight trains and, well, sometimes on passenger trains, too, that haven't been electrified, and it's been a tried-and-true technology for, like you said, Vince, probably 100 years.
Not only that, those engines are so hard to start, those diesel engines, they're so big and so hard to start that they don't shut them off. Ever. Once they're started, they keep running until they are taken out of service, maybe for major, major overhaul. But they keep running. There was one in Virginia where there's a little train depot where we lived in Virginia. And they had one of these diesel engines running for a couple years, just sitting there running. It wasn't attached to anything. There were no cars attached to it. It was just a diesel engine running, running, running. And it's turning over really slowly, you know, very few RPM. But it was running, doing nothing other than running for years. I'm not exaggerating. Years. And that's when I learned that they don't shut them off. Because it takes another train to start. It takes another locomotive to start a locomotive. I mean, you just don't. There's no battery that's big enough to start a locomotive engine. So they take another train, and they use the power of that other train to jump start the one that you want to start, if for some reason it wasn't running or needed to be started. But that's why they don't shut them off. Back to you.
Yeah. Interesting, Vince. So getting along to a related topic, you know, the current government, our government in Washington, has a goal of 100% clean energy by 2035. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's what they, you listen to all the departments, whether it's Department of Energy or pretty much all the departments are talking about, oh yeah, 100% clean energy by 2035. That's our goal. But the problem is that depends on solar and wind to a large extent. And there's some problems with building both of them out to a massive enough scale to achieve that goal. And, you know, I'm looking right now at a picture of a wind turbine that literally caught fire, burnt up, and disintegrated on a farm. I don't know if you have any on your farm, Ben.
No, I have a wind turbine, but I haven't put it up because I don't like the technology.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
USA News Update. TikTok users are inundating members of Congress with phone calls, urging them to oppose a bill that might lead to the eventual prohibition of TikTok in the United States. USA's John Schaefer has the story.
TikTok has raised alarms about the potential shutdown of the Chinese-owned app due to national security concerns. The platform is now directing users to contact their representatives in Congress, urging them to vote against the bill.
For anyone who says they know a person who would give anything, even a finger or toe, to make it to the game, some Kansas City Chiefs fans actually might have this past January. During a playoff game at Arrowhead Stadium between the Chiefs and the Miami Dolphins, nighttime wind chills dipped to more than 20 below zero, and some fans suffered frostbite. Now, about a dozen of them are being told by doctors to schedule amputation procedures. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here
on, and... lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they make such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the groom?
Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
It's gonna be sliding.
What are today's hot?
Flashy.
I've
got your.
Take my.
When you go to
the
DC
for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAprepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Bert's with us. Bert, I want to thank you for the part you've played in awakening the world to the folly of the mandates by some of the people in power, like Joe Biden and Gavin Newsom, with regards to electrification of vehicles. Back to you.
Yeah, Vince. So hopefully some of these regulations, and it's not like the people voted for this. This was just either in some cases legislatures passing bills, but in most cases it's just the guy or gal in charge just mandating these numbers, and kind of crazy. Vince, I'm looking at a chart, kind of interesting for class, where our energy gets generated. And we are up to 15% what's so-called renewable energy. And the biggest part of that's actually wind. So out of that 15%, about a third of it is wind, about 20% water power, 15% solar, 2% geothermal, not so much. Wood, 15%. Man, I guess that's fireplaces, Vince, I don't think too many factories use wood. Biofuels, 18%. So renewables still small. Vince, the biggest chunks are probably what you'd expect. Petroleum, about a third. Natural gas, about a third. Nuclear power, we're now down to 8%. I would have thought it'd be a little higher, but only 8%. And Vince, the one that's troubling, probably we should get rid of, is coal. Still accounts for 10% of U.S. primary energy production in the United States. So 10%, Vince, be nice to get rid of that. I'm still surprised that petroleum's as high as it is compared to natural gas. We have so much natural gas, and Vince, the price is hitting record lows because we have so much of it. And the problem is we've had a relatively warm winter, and then the oil companies, when they're drilling for oil, they also get gas, and they're not allowed to just, you know, throw the gas out or burn it or whatever they used to do. They have to successfully capture it and bring it to market. And so right now, in the United States, we have a glut of natural gas, and it is relatively clean burning compared to petroleum, certainly compared to coal. And so, Vince, that's about a third of our energy right now. Probably be nicer if it was like half, but is what it is. And hopefully in the future we can build what's called liquefied natural gas plants production, where what happens is we ship the gas over pipelines to these plants that compress and liquefy it, then it can be put on ships and exported around the world. So we're working on that. We're building the plants, and, you know, it takes a few years to construct them. But I think it bodes well for the U.S. energy industry in the next 10 or 20 years, because I think we're going to be able to not just use more natural gas ourselves, but export a lot of it to the rest of the world. And, you know, a lot of countries still burn coal as their primary energy source. I mean, I'm surprised we're at 10%, should be better at zero, but hopefully we can replace some of this coal with natural, cleaner burning natural gas. And that's basically, I think, a good future if we can achieve that, Vince. But renewable right now, so-called renewable, we're at about 15% total. And Vince, the biggest, I would have thought solar and wind would be tied, but actually wind is about 30%, and that's twice solar, which is about 15%, Vince. But I think we're kind of maxed out on wind farms, though. What do you think? Because it turns out there's a lot of problems with these giant windmills, Vince, not to mention they wear out, and we don't know what to do with those blades. So I think wind's probably going to max out. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have a wind turbine. It's a small one. And it was for my experimental purposes. I wanted to see. And the problem that we have with wind turbines is, what if it's not windy? Well, they don't work. What if it's really windy? The wind turbines can turn so fast that the gearing in the system can't handle it. And then you have to lubricate them. So, you know, periodically you've got to put gear lube in the gear case. And then when the wind is really high, you have to turn the blades so they don't catch the wind. So the wind goes right past them. And you have to have an electric brake to stop the thing from turning. Otherwise, it'll spin so fast it'll self-destruct. So there's some real problems with wind power. And that's without considering the damage to the animals, you know, the birds that are flying around them, and the noise and the constant hum of the systems. So I don't like wind power, and that's why it's not being used at our farm. But you mentioned wood. We heat our house and our domestic hot water 100% with wood. 100% with wood that would normally go to waste or would normally decay and become soil. So scraps from lumber mills that they don't want, they would just set on fire anyway. We use that to heat our house. And the electricity to run the circulator pumps and the air handler pumps, that's generated by solar power. So we don't use the grid for heating our hot water or pumping the water from the well or heating the air from the heat exchangers that are warmed by wood. So we're part of that wood energy percentage that you're talking about. But when you mentioned natural gas, you know, the Biden administration wants to get us off natural gas stoves, right? And gas appliances. Stoves,
yeah.
Ovens, hot water heaters, and so does the governor of California.
Yeah, it moved to electric, but the electric is generated by burning natural gas. That's how we, in California, that's the primary energy source is burning natural gas. So I don't completely get it. I guess what they're saying is the stove in your house leaks and it's not as efficient, and it's more efficient to burn it at the power plant and make it electricity. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's true either, but that's
all right, I guess, what they're saying.
All
right. Well, here's the problem that the administration has in Washington, D.C. There's a power plant or heating plant called the U.S. Capitol plant, and it provides underground heat to a bunch of buildings, including the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. So it's a central heating plant. And it uses natural gas. They just converted it from coal. They used to heat those buildings with coal. And now they heat them with natural gas. But they have a backup system, which is coal. So in case they don't have natural gas, they want to keep the heat on, they're going to use coal. And it's all in place right now. So if the government wants you to not use your gas stove, if they want to ban gas stoves, they need to dismantle their power plant. No heat. No heat for Washington, D.C.'s major government buildings because it's natural gas with a coal backup. What I'm saying is they speak with forked tongue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you mentioned liquefied natural gas, LNG. Well, instead of exporting it, let's compress it, as you mentioned, and let's use it domestically. Let's use more gas for cooking instead of electricity for cooking, because as you've been reporting for a long time now, the grid won't support the electric demand that is forecast, nor will it support the electric demand that we currently have during high demand conditions like real cold weather and real hot weather. So we can't support the load we have. How about moving people to liquefied natural gas like propane and get us off the electric grid for cooking and heating hot water with the surplus of natural gas that we have?
Yeah,
I would
say that would be compressed natural gas. We don't really need to liquefy it for ourselves because we can just either compress it or just ship it around in pipelines. So the liquefaction is another step, and it does raise the price of the gas. And that's really when you put it on tankers and send it to Europe or to other countries. We don't probably have to go through that step for ourselves. It can transport itself through pipelines if you have them and it works.
Except for the circumstances like here at the farm where we have rural people who could benefit from liquefied natural gas in tanks on their premises. So, Bert, we don't have There's no natural gas lines running near our farm. There's none, none close.
Yeah.
So
would
in Springfield, in big cities,
that,
yes, but not here.
Vince, would that be liquefied or would it just be compressed?
Well, it's compressed into a liquid. So if you take gases and you compress them, you can get a liquid. And the proof of that is in your refrigerator, you have both a liquid and a gas. And the compressor compresses the gas into a liquid, and then it is re-expanded into a gas, and it's recompressed into a liquid. So the same thing, the same principle applies with natural gas. You can compress it into a liquid. You can sell it as a liquid, you know, with a delivery truck, put it into a tank, like a propane tank, and then use it as a gas as it volatilizes or expands. I mean, that's exactly how a propane tank works. It's sold as a liquid. You buy it by the gallon, not by the cubic foot. It's a liquid.
Yeah,
and it boils at a very, very low temperature.
You just taught class how a refrigerator or an air conditioner works. You, by compressing that fluid, or let's say material, because it does go from gas to liquid, when you compress it, it heats up. Then you have a fan that blows that heat away. So that's where you always feel that heat coming out of the back of your refrigerator or coming out of your air conditioner. That extracts the heat. Then when you allow that compressed fluid to open up and become a gas again, it creates a cooling effect, and that's what you then duct into either your refrigerator or your air for an air conditioner. So you basically just taught class how an air conditioner or a refrigerator works as invented over 100 years ago, Vince.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think we ought to be USA first. And I think every country ought to be their country first. So it's not just we're first and everybody's last, but we're first for America. And Argentina is first for Argentina. And Brazil is first for Brazil. I think that's how it should be. And let's use our own resources.
Yeah.
But then,
we
have to buy some.
Yep.
I'm a nationalist. I think we ought to be first for us. And they ought to be first for them. It's not bigotry. It's everybody should be a nationalist for their own country. We'll be right back.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Bert's with us. Bert Bertonis in California, Silicon Valley engineer and patent holder. Bert, I'm looking at a map of the United States, and it was produced by the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, and they predict which areas of the grid are at a high risk for shortages. And the electricity shortfall risk for 2024 for the next 4 years is they have high risk, elevated risk, and normal risk. Well, the areas of high risk are Arkansas, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Texas, and Wisconsin.
Yeah, and Texas really not. That's just a tiny part of Texas. Most of Texas not in it. But Vince, you're right in the middle of that high risk area, being in Missouri. And I'm not sure how they calculated this, but you're in the area of the highest risk of stressing the grid to not being able to supply the electricity. That they're now doubling the amount of electricity that they think we're going to need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this class, you can look at this map. You can look at, it's called North American Electric Reliability Corporation. They have this map, and Missouri is included. Now, the part of Missouri that's included is St. Louis, Missouri. We are on the other side, so we're in the elevated risk, but not the high risk. So it's high risk, elevated risk, normal risk. And by the way, don't worry, Washington, D.C. is in the normal risk category, so you don't have to worry about that. But we're in the elevated risk area, Bert, because we're just the line is like right where we are. And it's okay with us because, you know, we've got our own system. By the way, there's one of our students, Brett. He's the gentleman who called in, and Kyle and I talked to him about he wanted to buy a toy hauler and look around the country and find the right place to live and bring his toys with him, like his welder and, you know, those, you know, machinery. And he asked me to find him a solar system, off-grid solar system. So it's all here, except for the battery bank, which is on its way. And he's got a world-class system, class. It's the same exact system that we have, and it works great. It's all Schneider Electric with nickel iron batteries from China, and that's the only place that makes them. But it's world-class, and you can do the same thing, too. Bert, back to you.
Yeah, so Vince, it's a... interesting warning that electric agency is saying that we don't have the plans to actually supply that electricity right now. I mean, we are there are some efforts to increase capacity, but nowhere near what they're now saying we're going to need. And that's because of a lot of the electrification we've talked about. Also, they're listing in there artificial intelligence, that those chips burn a lot of power. Since they're also listing crypto mining, which, you know, people say, oh, that's great, you're creating wealth. But Vince, using electricity and microprocessors to do crypto mining, I don't get what that's doing to improve our standard of living or put food on the table or improve our quality of life. It's I don't get it. It's not producing anything of any conceptual magnitude where you can of any substance where you can say what it is. It's just it's like a thought. It's so who knows where that's going to end up. But right now it is using a lot of electricity, Vince.
Okay, so it's even worse than that, right? Because XCEL Energy, company that is headquartered in based in Minneapolis, an electric utility and natural gas delivery company, said it is very, it may very well be responsible for igniting the recent Smokehouse Creek fire, which was the largest fire in the state's history. That's Texas. It burned, well, it destroyed more than 500 homes.
Yeah.
And how many cows? I'm thinking in the tens of thousands burned alive. I'm thinking. Now, I can't prove that. But this was a huge, huge fire. We're talking like a million acres. Huge fire. And so an electric utility delivery company saying, eh, it might have been us. Bert, that is another reason why we need to reduce the amount of electricity that we are using rather than increase and build more plants to make more electricity. We need to make less and deliver less and have less fewer fires.
There's probably no reason we can't. I mean, you know, I'm an engineer and we always think of efficiency. There's so many inefficiencies in the system. It seems like we should be able to, but unfortunately, it's not going that direction. It's the way things are heading, it's looking like we need more. Now, this could all change because I predict a lot of these mandates for all electric cars by 2035, for instance, that some states have. I just don't think that's going to come to pass because it's just impossible to meet those goals. For the biggest reason, Vince, nobody's buying the vehicles.
Yeah. And that's great. That's great. I support those who are thinking that electric vehicles are not the way to go because they're going to blow up the grid. If enough people buy them, it's going to blow up the grid. They will have nothing. And that's what man has done, Bert, ever since we've been around. We've been blowing up the planet with everything we touch. Everything. We dig holes and we mine and we bore. And we kill animals, we kill living things, we cut down trees. We're just a mess. We're the worst thing that's happened to the planet.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.